Hello, this is Dr. J. Davidson from drjdavidson.com. Thank you for joining me on the Mitochondrial Summit. My guest is Wendy Myers, and we're going to be exploring heavy metals that cause fatigue. But before we do, a little bit about Wendy. Wendy Myers is the founder of MyersDetox.com. She is a detox expert, functional diagnostic nutritionist, and NES bioenergetic practitioner in the Los Angeles, California area. She is the number one best-selling author of Limitless Energy, How to Detox Toxic Metals to End Exhaustion and Chronic Fatigue, and the host of the HeavyMetalsSummit.com. Wendy currently hosts two podcasts, which I give her a lot of props, the Myers Detox podcast about detox and the Supercharge podcast about NES Health Bioenergetics. Passionate about the importance of detox to live a long disease-free life, she created the revolutionary Myers Detox Protocol and the Mitochondria Detox after working with thousands of clients. Wendy, welcome to the Mitochondrial Summit.
Thank you so much for having me. This is right up my area of expertise. I'm so excited that you're doing this summit. It's so important.
Yes, I for sure wanted to get you on this because I agree this is right in your wheelhouse. So let's dive in. I mean, why is everybody so tired?
Well, of course, there's a lot of different underlying root causes of fatigue. There's viral infections, there's parasites, many, many different things, poor diet, poor nutrient absorption. But one thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, there are certain heavy metals like arsenic, aluminum, tin, thallium, and cesium that impact our bodies and our mitochondria's ability to produce energy. And these metals interfere in mitochondrial functions in a lot of different ways. For instance, arsenic is something that, you know, many people are very familiar with. It's found in rice, primarily brown rice, non-organic rices. It's found in conventional chickens and eggs, also in water. And this metal will actually poison enzymes that transports nutrients into your mitochondria. So really, really important to remove this. So if you're taking mitochondrial enhancing supplements and maybe aren't feeling the needle move in your energy levels, because you have metals that are blocking that nutrient's ability to get into your mitochondria to make an impact. And then there's other metals like cesium. I actually just did a Facebook Live about this the other day. Cesium actually gets into your heart cells. It displaces potassium in your heart cells. It also interferes in your potassium channels in all of your cells and disrupts its function. So a lot of people will have reduced heart function, heart palpitations, and other things because of cesium. Where are we getting this? It's from nuclear disasters like Chernobyl, like Fukushima, nuclear testing, there's nuclear satellites, nuclear powered satellites, and just the cesium gets into our environment from nuclear energy and accidents like Fukushima. And then there is thallium. A lot of people haven't heard of that. Well, this is a very prevalent metal. It's in almost every single person that I test because it's naturally occurring in petroleum. So anytime that you are breathing in air, you know, there's car exhaust emitting thallium into the air from the burning of fossil fuels. Industry is, you know, all the burning of fossil fuels, it goes into that. Mining, all of these activities release thallium into the air and then we breathe it in. Thallium also will get into our food as this thallium is released into the air, then settles onto the ground and gets into our food. I mean, kale is something that's you see all over the internet, there's thallium in kale. Well, it's in a lot of different foods that have sulfur. Sulfur will attract the thallium. And even organic kale is found to have more thallium than regular kale. That doesn't mean don't eat it. That doesn't mean not to eat kale. All of our food has some level of contamination. We just need to really be thinking more about, you know, avoiding really obvious sources of heavy metal toxicity. But you really want to be thinking more in terms of having a sensible detox plan.
I was going to say, just with your kale comments, I'm sensing the t-shirt manufacturers for food kale are going to dwindle all of a sudden.
exactly.
Well, and cesium, yeah, I love you brought that out. I mean, that's a radioactive metal, a radioactive element that essentially, you know, breaks DNA bonds and just, it's like that energy sucker. It just wears you down. Yeah. What are you mentioned aluminum earlier. Have you heard or seen any of the research kind of pointing at aluminum being a light metal versus quote unquote a heavy metal and not necessarily toxic like everybody's claiming it to be, that it's more of like a driver? It goes to the brain, doesn't necessarily have like the cytotoxic effects that people have claimed necessarily. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so, well, yeah, that's a very, that's a good distinction. That's accurate. Aluminum is not technically a heavy metal. I use that term because that's what people associate with metals. They think of them as heavy metals. That's what they're searching for. But aluminum is a light metal. Lithium is a light metal and mineral. It's technically a toxic metal. But there's different forms of aluminum. So the aluminum and other metals have different forms of them. Some are more toxic than others. So people definitely get aluminum toxicity depending on what form it is. Aluminum is very neurophilic. It loves the central nervous system. It can cause neurological damage in people. It can cause neuropathy. It can cause, you know, brain swelling if you get a large dose of it. It can cause seizures. It can cause a lot of different issues related to the central nervous system, nerve damage as well. There's a lot of different symptoms of aluminum toxicity, but you are correct in that distinction. There's some metals and minerals in low amounts, they're fine in some forms, they don't bother people, but in other forms, they'll be problematic for them.
Okay. With the aluminum, I'm just curious, is that like the different forms, would that be the inorganic versus maybe more of a plant derived form of aluminum, like the difference or what in the forms? I'm just curious.
I don't know if it's really useful for our conversation to go into the different forms. It's probably just beyond the scope of maybe our conversation or what's valuable for the listener. Like I said, there's some forms of aluminum that are fine, that are naturally occurring. There's a lot of, what are considered toxic metals that are in our environment at low levels. They don't tend to bother people. It's just some forms of all different types of metals can build up to levels that start causing symptoms. Some people have reduced capacity, genetic capacity, to excrete certain metals, and those tend to be the sicker individuals that need a little bit more help in detoxing those metals from them.
Okay. How do we assess? I mean, how do we know if we have metals, loads?
Yeah, well, you can do different testing. I prefer hair mineral analysis. That's kind of my first go-to test. But different tests test different metals. So there's no one perfect heavy metals test. Some metals come out in the hair, some come out in the urine, some come out in the stool. And there's also Chris Shade's blood metals test. That's a good one also. That's the only blood metals test that I would recommend. The one you'd get at your medical doctor's is not going to be very useful. It only test about four metals, and it's usually a false negative where it shows that you don't have any metals, because your body doesn't let these metals float around in your blood causing problems. It sequesters them away in your bones and your tissues and things like that. So I first start with hair mineral analysis. That gives me a really good picture of someone's heavy metals and mineral levels, and I can, create a really nice detox plan just from that alone. But if you really want to get a complete picture of your heavy metals, your body's heavy metal burden, you need to do a hair, urine, and stool metals test.
Okay. So kind of check all the excretory pathways of the body.
Yes. Yes.
How does a hair mineral analysis work as far as related to toxic metals?
Yeah, so the hair mineral analysis is used in so many different industries and so many different sciences to test minerals and metals and moon rocks and, geology and just many different areas of science. But in the human body, it's shown that the heavy metals in your hair that are excreting in your hair very highly correlate with your tissue levels of heavy metals and your tissue levels of minerals. And furthermore, it's a 3-month average of what's in your tissue. So I like it much more so than urine, for instance, which is a 6 to 24 hour test. And so it's kind of a snapshot of what's going on with you, what's excreting out of you. But a hair mineral analysis will show a 3 month average. So it really gives us a good picture of what you have in your body.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's almost like when you look at blood glucose and you have the blood glucose measurement versus the hemoglobin A1C. The A1C is kind of the average of blood glucose, so the hair mineral analysis is similar to that.
Exactly. Yeah, it just gives you a better picture of what's going on. But it has its pluses and minuses like any test. It's a screening tool.
If only, Wendy, there was like, just run this one thing. Yeah. It's 100% and it's perfect. Have you found anything out there like that yet?
No, there's no perfect test, no perfect medical test or functional medical test. Even your medical doctors, you know, a lot of tests that are done are screening tools, and then you go to more advanced testing if there's an issue in the first test. So there's no perfect test out there. But, you know, they're good enough. Doing a hair, urine, and stool test gives you a very good picture of what metals you have. But another thing to note is sometimes when people don't have any metals coming out in their tests, that doesn't mean they don't have heavy metals. It's impossible to not have heavy or toxic metals in your body. I mean, they're everywhere. They're in the air, food, and water. So when someone has no metals showing on their hair mineral analysis, it usually shows that they are fatigued. They're not able to detox the metals. They have genetic issues with detoxification. So rest assured, they are there. They're just not excreting on the tests.
The pathways are just plugged, which usually means that person's even worse off or more symptomatic than somebody that's not.
Yeah.
So you have something that's a mitochondrial detox, which I'm like, mitochondrial summit, I need to hear. So you talked about, what was the first heavy metal, the arsenic, that blocks the enzyme in the nutrients getting in the mitochondria? That is so amazing. I mean, unfortunate to know that, but amazing information. So talk to me about the mitochondria detox.
Yeah. So, you know, I base a lot of my research on fatigue because in working with thousands of clients and even my own main complaint when I was not well is fatigue. And you have to have energy to heal. You have to have energy to detox. You have to have energy to sleep, which is a very energy intensive regenerative process. So energy is the name of the game in getting better. So I wanted to focus my research on what is blocking energy production and how do we restore that. So I came up with the mitochondria detox. It has three different supplements in it that address energy production in a few different ways. So number one is something called activated silica. And it's a type of silica that specifically binds onto and mobilizes and pulls metals out of tissue that interfere in mitochondrial functioning. So it pulls out arsenic, aluminum, tin, thallium, and cesium. It also gets barium as well. And it can get a little free-floating iron also. And then the next component of it is a binder. This one is a citrus pectin, which is very, very effective at removing all different types of metals. Mercury and lead also are big causes of fatigue as well and mitochondrial dysfunction. So there's also some cilantro extract in that, some fulvicumic, which is our amazing detoxifier. So it's very broad spectrum and getting a lot of different types of toxic and heavy metals. But the activated silica specifically focuses on metals that interfere in mitochondrial functioning in various ways.
So when you're looking at supporting mitochondria, you're really keying in on binding the toxins that disrupt the mitochondria?
Exactly. Yeah. And take, for instance, tin. So tin is something a lot of people are exposed to. And tin will actually, like if you have the mitochondrial membrane, envision that it has to have a certain charge or potential and to work properly. And tin dispels that charge. So it renders a mitochondria not able to work and function as well. So again, it's some of my clients are extremely high in tin and they just aren't able to excrete it for whatever reason. And so doing the mitochondrial detox with these two products really, really effective in bringing down these metal levels. And it's amazing. I mean, I have clients going from being bedridden, not able to work, hardly able to get up to function. And within a year, 18 months, I mean, these are very severe cases, within a year, 18 months, going back to work. From taking these products. It's just amazing because anyone who has chronic fatigue, thallium and cesium are going to be major underlying culprits of that. I mean, mercury also is a big factor. Everyone has mercury. It's absolutely impossible to avoid. But I'm just finding that every single person I'm testing has thallium and cesium as well. And these interrupt mitochondrial functioning by displacing potassium. And so they block potassium channels in your body that are vital for the sodium potassium pumps to work in your cells. So for stuff going in and out of your cells, but also your mitochondria as well. So if potassium is blocked, you're just not able to make ATP as well. You're not able to make, you know, energy as well as your body is capable of producing otherwise. And so cesium and thallium, like I mentioned, interfere in potassium, and also people that have a lot of cramps and they can't get rid of them, and they're taking potassium, they're taking magnesium, they're still getting cramps. It's because thallium and cesium have displaced potassium in their muscles, and that needs to be pulled out to restore proper functioning. People are getting spasming, muscle weakness, things like that, or just can't figure out what's going on. It's the thallium and cesium. And as you're pulling that out, the mitochondria detox, good to also replete potassium as well.
From your clinical perspective, just working with a lot of clients and seeing testing, are there certain areas of the world or even the country of US that kind of stand out of certain things that maybe surprised you on certain chemicals in regions?
Yeah, definitely there are, I can definitely see certain regions, like in the Southwest United States, there's very high uranium, and California, everyone has uranium. I have a lot of clients in Europe that were born, you know, lived in the Chernobyl when Chernobyl happened in 1986. They all have incredibly high cesium, cancers, thyroid dysfunction, other issues related to cesium toxicity. Everyone has thallium. I just have not had a client yet that doesn't have thallium. And this can be evidence on hair mineral analysis. If someone has very low potassium, or it's like 0 or 1 or 2 or 3, and just no matter what they do, it never goes up. That's from thallium and cesium toxicity. I see arsenic, a lot of arsenic in the southern United States because it was used in the pesticides. And still persists in the soil, even though the arsenic-based pesticides have been outlawed, it still persists in the soil. But that's a lot of my clients, they move around. So someone that might live in Delaware grew up in California, so they'll have the uranium. You know, it complements with California, even though they live in Delaware now. And a lot of people that drink well water will have manganese toxicity or arsenic or uranium. So just, you know, I do a very thorough health history on people to kind of see what their habits are, diet, water-wise, are they drinking filtered water, where have they traveled to, where have they lived, and to try to get a clear picture of their toxicity levels.
Awesome. Well, looking at maybe more of like a protocol approach, what would you put in if somebody wants to detox? What are some things to consider, things to make sure are in a protocol from your clinical perspective?
Yes. Well, number one, you have to mineralize your body. That's the number one way to detox your body. That's how I started many years ago. And you need magnesium first and foremost. You need trace minerals. I love a product called Healthy Salt. It's a salt that takes about 3 or 4 years for them to kind of process it and wash it and get rid of all the sodium in it. And it's very, very concentrated. It's amazing how it pushes out metals. And it has a lot of sulfur in it too. And so I start with those. Zinc, incredibly important to detox, mercury and cadmium and other metals. And then potassium is really important. So really giving people lots of minerals in the correct forms. a lot of people are taking these, but they're not taking the correct forms that are going to move the needle for them. Selenium, super important. Also, the right form is very important. And then once people are really mineralized and we have a good base, then B vitamins are super, super important. You have to have B1 and B5 to detox properly, B6 and B2 as well to detox. And so those are really, really important. And almost everyone can take those without any sort of a problem. And when it comes to more advanced detox supplements, you know, some people that are very ill, they just can't take certain things. And so I run people's genetics to find out what supplements may or may not work for them. And just base, do an individual protocol based on what people are tolerating and based on what their genetics say. But the simplest thing to do is take minerals and do the mitochondria detox, super, super comprehensive.
And that's just overall going to remove chemicals from the body, going to build that base layer. So no matter what crazy stressors that you're under, your body should be able to handle it so much better that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the number one rule with any detox, you have to take a binder. So that's the biggest mistake most people make, is not doing a binder. If they're doing any kind of detox supplements or protocol, you want to take a binder to be mopping up all this stuff and absorbing all this garbage that you're releasing out of your fat cells. Say if you're doing infrared saunas, or releasing out of your tissues, that different detox supplements will be pulling out of your tissues and your bones. You want something absorbing that. And then you typically, any kind of binder you take, it will either exit through your feces or exit through your urinary tract.
Pee or poop it out, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's the name of the game.
It's interesting. Have you seen clinically, like when people start detoxing, where they can gain weight because they're releasing so many toxins like in their body, but they're not clearing them out fast enough. And then like the body tries to essentially kind of try to dilute the toxins that are floating around. All of a sudden, you know, you put some water weight on. Cause I've seen multiple clients where it's like, they're weighing themselves. They're like, oh my gosh, I just gained 6 pounds. I'm like, stop.
That definitely does happen, because, you know, usually a lot of people's bottleneck to detox is their liver. And if you are getting all excited about detox, so you listen to this talk and you start detoxing and you're not tending to liver functioning, you might have a backup where, like you said, the body is retaining water, especially if we're taking a lot of minerals. You need minerals to hold on to water. You'll be retaining water just from that step alone, but you have to flush your liver. I love coffee enemas. I love liver flushes. Doing supplements to support the liver. And also broccoli sprouts are amazing. That's the number one detox food on the planet. I have a new supplement coming out called Daily Detox. It's about 5 to 8% fermented broccoli sprouts that really, really help support the liver when people are detoxing. It has beets and ginger and all kinds of good stuff to support your liver. And so that's really the bottleneck for a lot of people if they are gaining weight, but it's only temporary. So I know I weigh myself really frequently too, to maybe torture myself a little bit every day. But so I know a lot of women do that, you know, just how we're, I guess, programmed, but don't worry. It's just temporary, and you can just flush your liver out, and that'll help process the water through.
I just laugh at it. The supplement, yeah, sounds very liver friendly that you mentioned too. Just, yeah. But I was thinking, yeah, I need to start growing some broccoli sprouts. I need to get into like gardening, hydroponics or aquaponics, or I don't know. I feel a need, you know, start growing some like superfoods at home, but.
Yeah. I love sprouts. I grow my own sprouts. It's super easy. You can get a little grower on Amazon. Okay. They're not too expensive. Get some broccoli sprouts. I grow onion sprouts. I grow garlic sprouts. I grow sunflower sprouts. They grow in like 5 days. And they're pretty expensive at the store, and they're usually kind of old. So I prefer to grow them myself. But you can get like a jar and throw the seeds and just water them a couple times a day. And it's so easy to do. And you can get like a little starter kit on Amazon. It's not that much money. And it's amazing because they have DIM in them. DIM is really important to flush out all the xenobiotics and help your body get rid of all the toxic estrogen that can cause, you know, unwanted weight gain. And they're just so helpful. I mean, I can't even talk enough about how helpful broccoli sprouts are for a detox.
Wow. I don't think I've ever had onion sprouts or garlic sprouts. So do they have the same like smell or flavor that onions and garlics do? I'm imagining they don't. They're just like the greens.
No, they are definitely pungent, but they're not as strong as onion. But I like to put them in wraps. If I'll do a wrap or have like a hamburger, I put them in place of onions. I think they have a much nicer, milder flavor. But definitely sulfur, definitely good for detox. The top five detox foods are garlic, onions, the ginger, and broccoli sprouts, and egg yolks. Those are actually the top five foods.
Interesting. The egg yolks and broccoli sprouts don't have much of a kick, but the first three definitely have
a kick. Oh, yeah.
They pack a bunch of ginger in there. That's awesome. Yes. Well, so, I mean, kind of summarizing your talk today, really showing that the underlying toxins, these heavy metals, these radioactive elements like cesium, essentially damage the mitochondria, stop the production of ATP instead of just trying to feed the nutrients to feed the mitochondria, you actually want to remove the source of what is impeding it, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, because there's a lot of people taking mitochondrial enhancing supplements and going, it's not really working. Well, this is why. Some people they have absorption issues. That's a big problem. So it doesn't matter what you supplement with. It only matters what you absorb. But most people do have some level of these metals, arsenic, aluminum, tin, thallium, and cesium, that are impeding mitochondrial energy function in various ways. So if you're looking to improve your energy levels or you have chronic fatigue, you have to address this component.
Awesome. Well, as we wrap up the interview, Wendy, any final words of wisdom or thoughts for the listener of the Mitochondrial Summit?
Yes. Well, you know, like I said before, energy is the name of the game. If you have a diagnosis or a chronic illness, or you, want to detox your body, or you have sleep issues, you have to have energy for all of these things to work. You have to have energy for your immune system to function. So restoring energy is vital no matter what your health goal is. And it's the number one thing I focus on when I'm working with clients is doing supplements and minerals and detoxification to promote and enhance mitochondrial functioning. So I'm so glad, Jay, that you're doing this summit. I think it's so important because it's the number one thing people need to be tending to when they're trying to improve their health.
Completely, completely agree. I want to thank you so much for coming on here, Wendy, for the Mitochondrial Summit. Just appreciate you taking time out of your schedule between clients to do the interview.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening to the Mitochondrial Summit. Make sure to share this interview with your friends and family. Also, consider adding this to your library by clicking the order button. And don't forget to visit Wendy Myers at MyersDetox.com. She's got a pretty cool detox checklist that you should check out too. But MyersDetox.com. So Myers is MYERS and then detox. So MyersDetox.com. Maximum blessings. This is Dr. Jay Davidson.